From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Mountains Turned to Plains. The text is found in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. At this hour a mountain of difficulty, distress, or necessity may be in our way, and natural reason sees no path over it, or through it, or round it. Let faith come in, and straightway the mountain disappears and becomes a plain. But faith must first hear the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. This grand truth is a prime necessity for meeting the insurmountable trials of life. I see that I can do nothing, and all reliance on man is vanity, not by might. I see that no visible means can be relied on, but the force is in the invisible Spirit. God alone must work, and men and means must be nothing accounted of. If it be so that the Almighty God takes up the concerns of His people, then great mountains are nothing. He can remove worlds as boys toss balls about or drive them with their foot. This power He can lend to me. If the Lord bids me move an Alp, I can do it through His name. It may be a great mountain, but even before my feebleness it shall become a plain. For the Lord hath said it. What can I be afraid of with God on my side?
It is well.
To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus upon the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is happy to make this booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Covenant Theology. The text is found in chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. In the preceding verses of the chapter, the Apostle Paul set forth the glorious doctrine of justification by faith in Christ. Now he presents an exposition of the fundamental consequence of that doctrine. Dr. Cairns has emphasized the importance of understanding the connection between these verses and those which have preceded them. Implicit in the doctrine of justification by faith are a number of vital truths. The first is that all men are sinners. Sin came into the world because of Adam's disobedience, and this sin nature is passed on to all who are born in Adam's race. The second truth is that because of Adam's sin, all men are condemned to death, physical and spiritual. The gospel is that salvation is found in Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message called Covenant Theology.
In this section, verse 12 to 19, 12 times Paul uses the word one. One man. One sin. One righteousness. 12 times in this little group of verses, Paul is emphasizing one. Why is he doing that? Well, to sum it up, he's saying all sinners are comprehended in one man, Adam. All believers are comprehended in one man, Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12 starts the formal proposition. I'm sure you noticed as we were reading that verse 12 does not seem to lead to verse 13. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law. Some translations do what the Authorized Version has done here, and they put verse 13 through 17 in parentheses to let you know that Paul has not finished his thought in verse 12. Others will put a dash to show again this is an incomplete thought in verse 12. Here the proposition is commenced. Where does it finish? You go down to verse 18. And he says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, now here's where he gets to finish the thought that he was commencing in verse 12. You see, verse 12, wherefore, demands an even so. Wherefore, as by one man, even so, verse 18, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And in a word, nutshell, that's what this great section is all about. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed through upon all men. Because all sinned, even so, by the righteousness of one man, Jesus Christ. As verse 18 puts it, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Today, we will have time only to deal with the first part of that. The imputation of Adam's sin and its results. You'll be delighted to know that I really have just 2 points. Of course, under one of them particularly, I might have one or two other things to say. But I've just 2 main things to state here. Verse 12, the beginning of the verse. The entrance of sin into the world was by the sin of one man, namely Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Now here's something I don't want to take a lot of time on, for I don't have a lot of time. But nonetheless, it's vitally important. The reference here is clearly to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see what that means. Paul is constructing for us in Romans the most theological, the most definitive, and therefore, in many ways, the most important exposition of the things that really matter. Our standing with God, how to be right with God, how to have sin and guilt dealt with, how to be accepted at the throne of God, how to be secure for heaven for all eternity. That's what he's dealing with. But he bases it all on Genesis chapter 3. He goes back to that third chapter of Genesis and he takes the story of Adam and Eve literally. Adam was not an ideal man. Adam was a real man. The story of Adam is not some poetic or mythological creation of ancient writers to convey some moral truth. If that were so, the whole gospel collapses. He's going back to Genesis. And just as the Lord Jesus did in the Gospel of Matthew, when he was teaching on marriage and the sanctity of marriage and divorce and things of that nature, he did the very same thing. He went right back to Adam and Eve. You see, here's a vivid reminder that you cannot reject, you cannot alter the story of creation and the fall without affecting much more, including the doctrine of salvation as it's set in the Word of God. In other words, if the first Adam is a myth, then where is the use of Paul insisting, as he does insist in 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ is the last Adam? Where's the use of that? If the first man never existed, but as evolutionists and theistic evolutionists would have us believe that somehow or other we have all come from the Lord only knows what, but the first man is only a mythological, literary creation, then what is the use of Paul identifying Christ as the second man, the Lord from heaven? You see, there are two great public characters in Scripture, the first Adam and the last Adam. Adam, our first father, Christ, our only Redeemer. Two great public characters in whom are comprehended the souls of all men and the destinies of all men. So he goes back to Genesis. He said, this is what happened, exactly as Moses wrote it. Adam sinned. And when he sinned not only as an individual, he obviously did that, but he sinned as a public person. By that I mean through his first sin, sin entered into the world. Now that is easy to say, but it's actually something that sounds very strange. There was sin in the world before Adam sinned. The devil had already sinned, and his angels. But not only so, Eve had sinned before Adam sinned. And yet we are told that it was Adam through whom sin entered the world. And obviously it's talking about the human world, the world of men and their environment. It was through Adam that sin entered into the world, because Adam, not Eve, was the head of the human race. Eve's sin affected none but herself. When Eve sinned and she came to Adam, He was still in his original righteousness. Her sin did not make him a sinner. To that point, her sin had affected no one but herself. But Adam's sin immediately affected all subsequent humanity. Paul describes Adam's sin as sin. The word, the missing of the mark. Not an accidental missing of the mark while he's trying to hit the mark, but a deliberate missing of the mark. He describes it as an offense, as it's translated here. The word indicates a fall, by which his relationship with God was disrupted and ruined. And he describes it as a disobedience by which he became a lawbreaker. This was Adam's sin. Adam missed the mark. Adam fell. Adam disobeyed. But it didn't stop there. Through Adam, sin entered. The Greek text has the definite article. The sin entered. That is, the evil principle of rebellion against God entered the stream of humanity. It invaded humanity, corrupting all men, depraving all men, and alienating all men from God. This is the origin of all the wickedness that Paul has already been dealing with in this great book of Romans. You remember right back at the first chapter in verse 18, he speaks of the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. And then he goes on to say that these people, when they knew God, glorified him not as God. They were not thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They became idolaters. They became immoral. And he goes down the list of uncleannesses, vileness, filthiness, the things that brought the wrath of God upon the world. Again and again, right into chapter 3, in that great section in which he concludes the whole world guilty. He says, there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. The throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. That's the summary of the world. And where did it all start? It all commenced with Adam. That one sin is the source of all human sin. And to that one sin of Adam is attributable the spread of sin and wickedness in all its forms throughout the world. Now, if that were all that the Word of God said in the subject, we would conclude that we inherited from Adam a sinful nature, which of course is true. But if this is all that was said, we would conclude that's the only truth, that we inherited a sinful and depraved and corrupted nature because of which we were judged guilty. In other words, we're condemned because of our own acts of sin. There are many people who interpret Romans 5 that way. You see, Paul's teaching here is hard for a lot of people to swallow. And they insist on this individuality. They insist that the only sin for which God condemns man is their own act of sin. But I hope you paid attention when we were reading Romans 5. Because that's not what Paul's teaching. He's saying something very different. And he's saying something very much more radical. Which leads me to the second great truth then. Not only the entrance of sin into the world was by the sin of one man, Adam, but the sentence on Adam's sin. Now follow what I'm saying here. God's sentence on Adam's sin was death for all men. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed. The idea is death entered by sin, and death passed through down unto all men individually by that sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.